Hello, welcome back to Human to Human. Or welcome to Human, because I have not posted in a long time. It's been probably like over a month, maybe 6 weeks. I am Jessica McDonald, your host, and it's been so weird, but also has been so simple. Like, Not posting just sort of happened, and I didn't mean to, and I've been really trying to think on why I stopped putting podcast episodes out, and right now I'm not recording the video version, which I have done in the past, and one, I think that's gonna really help not, you know, putting so much constraints on myself, because then I would think so much about how I look and care so much about, like, what people will think if they watch the YouTube version that has the video portion, or like I always want the Instagram promo post to like have the video version of the podcast. And so then I stopped. I like wouldn't record so often if I got a random like passion to, I guess, because of that. I don't know if that's true though. You know, when you're trying to like investigate shit that's going on in your head and you're like, this could be it, this could be part of it, but I'm really not sure. That's me right now. But nevertheless, I hope this hits the Spotify, the Apple, the podcast platforms, because the amount of episodes I have recorded and just like listened to and hated are so many. And this is where I am today. I have so much I'm talking about with my friends and with my boyfriend and with my family and in my daily life that I haven't shared on the podcast. And the whole purpose of the podcast for me is to share these things. And I'm nervous to share a lot of the conversations I've been having, because I have learned so, so much over the past 6 months about what it means for me to be a woman, what it means to feel sexy as a woman, what it is like to be in an interracial relationship. I'm white and my boyfriend is brown, and I've been learning a lot, and I really, really do want to talk about all of it on here. Being vaccinated, anti-vaxxers, having friends who aren't vaccinated, what that's like, being open to other people's opinions. Let's fucking talk about it all, okay? Okay, let's fucking talk about it all. I want to talk about it all. I am excited. I'm feeling good. This feels good to sit here and talk on the mic. Today we're getting really up close and personal, because we're going to talk about my vagina, to be completely honest, but we're going to talk about infections. And this is for my fucking ladies, but men, there is so much you can learn from this too. And this, I'm not only going to talk about my experiences with getting a yeast infection every month for 6 months. Just let that marinate for a second. I'm gonna explain what a yeast infection is. But it's gonna translate to health and my body and feeling, you know, good about yourself, and also taking charge and making change in your own life. So I'm not only gonna talk about the woman health side of things, but I'm gonna talk about change and taking control of your life and feeling good in your own body. So to start, I have a page here that a doctor gave me about, I feel like I'm going to pronounce so much wrong, but just like, bear with me. Vaginal oh my God, this is literally spelled insane. Candidiasis, like it's spelled C-A-N-D-I-D-I-A-S-I-S. Candida is the bacteria. Candidiasis is an infection caused by a yeast, a type of fungus called Candida. So there we go, Candida. Wow, I really like butchered all of those words. But Candida normally lives inside the body in places such as the mouth, the throat, the gut, and the vagina. And it also lives on the skin. And it can do that. It can live there and not cause any problems at all. But Candida can multiply and cause an infection if the environment inside the vagina changes in a way that encourages its growth. So what this long-ass weird word that I was trying to say, like candidiasis or itis or asis or whatever the fuck, in the vagina, it's commonly called as a vaginal yeast infection. And the symptoms, this is the fun one. So first of all, if you are a woman who's experienced a yeast infection, I am so sorry. They are very, very, very common. I had one when I was in high school once. Do I want to get really TMI on here? Yes. Why am I here if I'm not going to get TMI? Don't. I'm pretty sure this is why. Don't use, what's it called? A flavored condom inside your vagina. I don't know if they're like, if you're really actually not supposed to. I had some friends say, what the fuck? Why would you do that? That's confusing. Condoms are for sex. But I guess that's just for giving a guy, you know? But I mean, also though, this is the thing. I'm going to make another episode where we're also going to get really personal about my health. I don't think people do this. Maybe some people do, and this is a good idea because it can prevent you from getting STIs, because you can get STIs through, hold on. Sorry, excuse me. You can get STIs through oral sex, not just like intercourse. Guys, do you see why I was afraid to make episodes? Because this is genuinely what I've been experiencing in my life, and this is a lot to share. But hey, family, hope you're gonna learn something from this. But like, having girl talk with your family is like the best thing ever, because like, literally my cousin Sam, she came on the podcast, I told her about all my yeast infection problems, and you just feel seen and heard when you talk to other girls about it. So I was having yeast infections. I got my first one in April before I even met my boyfriend. So like, probably wasn't related, obviously wasn't related to sex. I wasn't having sex at the time, but I did use a menstrual cup for the first time that month, and I didn't clean it properly. I didn't boil it before I used it anyway. And then I ended up genuinely getting, or not properly treating, yeast infections every single month following. It is October, guys. I'm recording this a week before Halloween. It is October, okay? And let's just talk about the symptoms of a yeast infection. Okay, are we ready? Vaginal itching or soreness. My number one symptom was itching. I had a friend explain the itch that you have when you have a yeast infection, and she explained it so well. She said, it is like an itch you cannot scratch. If you are a vulva owner, you will understand this. I don't need to go into detail. Another symptom, pain during intercourse, sexual intercourse. Another one is pain or discomfort when urinating, and abnormal vaginal discharge. A lot of people say the discharge is cottage cheese-like. From my own experience, I can confirm that is true. So those are my two, was the itchiness, which was absolutely horrible. I went to visit my friend Zoe, the one who was on an episode recently. I don't know if it was the last one or when I will post this, but I was in Montreal with her, and it was in the summer, and I was wearing jean shorts. Oh, ladies, I know you're hurting. Jean shorts on a hot summer day, it's already asking for problems, let alone with an itchy yeast infection. So that was awesome. And I was just saying to her, I'm like, I think I have one. Yeah, and then I started seeing my current man in May, and so of course I kept getting yeast infections. And oh, do we want to talk about the joys? I will end up talking about this. The joys of seeing someone new and beginning to get intimate with them, and then getting yeast infections, and then eventually passing it on to them. Oh, the joys. It is fucking horrible. So yeah, I'm sure you can imagine the emotional toll. And for those who don't know, ways that you can easily treat yeast infections by going to the pharmacy, getting a Canestin. I recommend getting a no-name brand because they're cheaper, and you can either take a pill orally, or you can stick one right up your coochie. Sticking it up your coochie solves the problem a lot faster. There's one-day ones, there's three-day ones. Oh, honey, I have done them all. And it really fucks with how you feel about yourself and your mental health. And I love my friend Felicia, who, like, I haven't talked to in fucking forever. I did musical theater with her. She came on the podcast. She runs the Sex and Self Nonprofit Foundation, a part of McGill University. And she just talks all about sex and education. And I was diagnosed with an STI. I will make an episode all about this. This was like a year ago I was diagnosed with an STI. And thank God she had an episode all about the specific one I had and talking about it. And I was like, yes, I feel seen and heard. And this is what's so important. When you are going through something like this, you have to just talk about it to the ones that you love and the ones that you trust. My friends were literally like, what the fuck is like going on with you? Are you okay? Like, we need to get to the bottom of this. And I was like, I do. And something that got fucked up too was it got to my mouth and my throat and my boyfriend's as well. So we like went to the doctor separately, and I went to the amount of doctors I've seen is just horrible. And like, I can't believe I'm sitting and making this, but I'm so glad I am, because people need to know this. I went to a doctor And it wasn't even like a doctor. It was at a walk-in clinic where I ended up Zooming with a doctor. And then it was like a doctor, like, not yet, can't diagnose you and prescribe you kind of doctor. So, like, not a legit one, but, like, gone to medical school, but hasn't, like, been, like, woo, certified, you can prescribe shit kind of guy. And he looked in my mouth because my mouth was, like, it was hurting to swallow and I had, like, a white patch in the back of my throat. And the doctor was like, okay, yeah, we're just going to give you antibiotics. Here's a little fun fucking fact about yeast infections. Antibiotics can cause them. So basically, from my knowledge, a yeast infection is like, you have good bacteria and bad bacteria in your entire body, including your vagina. And if you have too much bad bacteria, aka I think the candida, like, sorry if I'm giving wrong information, but I feel like I have decent knowledge after 6 months. The candida is like bad bacteria, or it's like a fungus or whatever. And when you have too much of that, that's when you can get a yeast infection. And antibiotics, they kill the bad bacteria, but they also kill some of the good bacteria. So I was just like, my pH balance, also yeast infections are all about the pH balance in your vagina. My boyfriend works at a hot tub store and he talks about pH in the hot tubs all the time. And he was like, this is hilarious. I didn't know pH also was like important in vaginas. And I was like, yes, maybe it is. So it fucks up the pH. Your pH balance is off. So things that you can do to prevent getting a yeast infection include, you shouldn't douche. You shouldn't like put a thing up and like clean out your vagina. It does it itself. Wearing like a wet bathing suit for a really long time. You should wear cotton underwear. I'll probably go into more of that after. But where was I going with this? The story is just all over the place. Yeah, so you can deal with it yourself. I got prescribed the antibiotics. It literally made it worse. I think it got rid of my throat thing though. But just overall, doctors sometimes suck. One, I had the best conversation with my family doctor though, where I was like, I literally ended up going to the hospital because it's COVID times and I knew I wouldn't have be able to get someone to like look at it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, guys. People have looked at it. It's been awesome. not really. Oh my God. For the men who fucking ask, oh, like, does it feel good? Like, I had a doctor stick a device up and swab, and not to say who, I think it's easy to guess. Love him though. Oh, did it feel good? Men, does it feel good when a doctor sticks his finger up your butt to check your prostate? No. And if it does, honestly, I'm glad you're enjoying the experience. No, men, it does not feel good when a doctor is probing in your private parts that you do not want them to enter but are accepting that they have to for your own health. So never, please, never ask that. Please just never, 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 never fucking ask that, okay? Just don't. It's just, fuck, just don't. It just pisses me off. And I swear it'll piss a lot of other women off. Anyway, this took such a toll. This affected how I looked at my body. I felt like I was doing something wrong. I felt like I shouldn't be having sex because maybe sex was causing it. For the record, I am a month and a half yeast infection free, motherfuckers. Why don't I start the episode like that? I'm going to get into how I've been seeing a holistic nutritionist. And she was like, why didn't you start our call with that when we had our first check-in? I have been free of a yeast infection for like over 6 weeks, I even think. It is so great. And it is not because of sex, because, woo, I'm sure you can guess. But I was so afraid that it was because I was having sex, and that made me feel just so not sexy, so not attractive, so, I felt so bad for my vagina. Like, guys, this is so fun when you, like, it's not fun, but it helps me get through. Like, people name the mean voice in their head. Rachel Hollis calls hers Pam. I haven't named the voice in my head. I also haven't named my vagina, but I will talk about her like she is separate from my body and she is her own entity. I am literally like, I feel so bad for her. Like, I feel so bad. And like, also, guys, get a yeast infection your first month of like having sex with a guy, because honestly, it really tells you what kind of guy he is. Thank God my boyfriend is the fucking best. Emma Chamberlain, I was just listening to a podcast episode she was making, and she said like, if there are any red flags, like, you might, like, leave. Why are you there? It is possible to date someone who doesn't have red flags. I know because I am. Yeah, woohoo! And this was a huge telling sign. I was experiencing issues sexually and in my own body. And boom, he called the doctor. He was on it right away. If your fucking man will not call the doctor if you guys are having issues, like maybe it's a whole psychological thing he needs to work through. But get your fucking shit together, because seriously, like, my boyfriend was like, this is important for yours and my health. Like, why would I put this off? Why would I not do this? And I'm like, thank you. You are a hot adult. This is sexy. This makes me want to have sex with you, but my vagina is itchy. Yeah, we're real up close and personal today. But yeah, you need to be with someone who supports you. And thank God, like, it was such a green flag going through this with him because of the support and because I could talk through my worries and my fears and my feelings of not being sexy and all of that stuff early on with him, very early on, because this kept coming up and this kept happening. And I just remember crying about it like a couple months into dating him. And he was like, I know you're gonna figure this out. Like, I know you're gonna get through this. And I'm scared to even sit here and say I've been yeast infection free for a month and a half because I'm so scared I'll get one again. But if I do, I'll figure it out. But I've changed so much, and I'm gonna dive into what I've changed because I hope it's helpful to you guys. And to you guys, ooh, I feel like an influencer. Maybe I should say that more often. But there are people listening. I always kind of forget that sometimes, but then I'm too aware of it sometimes. Anyway, he was the best, and having someone support you is so, so, so important when you're going through any sort of health issue. If you're a woman who gets UTIs all the time, if you're a woman who, I don't know, her boobs leak. Oh, I don't know if that's, well, I know it's a thing when you have babies, but if you are someone who struggles with an eating disorder, if you are someone who struggles with body image, you need to have a partner you can talk about this with, because it's going to work against you if you can't. You're going to feel so alone. I felt so alone in this experience at times. But because I could call him and cry, and that was okay, and I was accepted, and I felt seen, and I felt heard, or I could call my best friends, or cry to my mom. It makes the difference. You need people in hard times. My therapist said this to me, and I love it. As humans, we can go through life alone, but we don't have to. We're creatures for connection, and when we're going through hard experiences, it genuinely makes a world of a difference when you can go confide in someone and feel seen and feel heard and validated, and like your problems are okay and you're gonna work through them. Oh my God, it literally just like changes the game. And it took me, so even when you're going through problems and you talk to people about all of this, sometimes you won't change. I was still using my menstrual cup. I was eating the exact same way. I was still having sex a lot. Woohoo, it was fun. Like, I don't regret that. Still am. I'm so sorry, Mom. I mean, she'd be happy for me, I think. But so eventually, after September came around, and I got another yeast infection, and I'm still doing, like, I was doing the treatments. When I went to the hospital, I had a doctor look all up in there. All the tests came back normal. They didn't even find fucking candida. I was like, what's happening? But she gave me, like, a strong dose of an over-the-counter, like, oral pill. Guys, the amount of times I have left my, like, pharmacy that I, like, get my birth control and I get, like, all my prescriptions at, the amount of times I've left that pharmacy just fucking pissed off at the world is, like, not even funny. Like, let alone, like, think about even, like, a year ago I got an STI and I, like, had it for, that's a whole different story. But it's not fucking fun. It's not. It is the worst feeling ever. I had to spend $65 on over the, well, only in one sitting, for the record. Also, I don't even think I want to know how much money I've spent on yeast infection shit. But in one sitting, after I went to the hospital, I got diagnosed with the three doses, and it cost me $65. I spent $65 that day, let alone how much I've probably spent in 6 months. That's why me right now, I'm investing in a holistic nutritionist, and for the first time, I, like, don't have a fucking yeast infection. Worth it. Fucking worth it. Another note, let's just get into the holistic nutritionist stuff, because that's what made me change. Holistically Humble, Katie, my yoga queen, is now my holistic nutritionist queen, and I love her so much. She is someone I can talk to my poop about with her. That's what they're for. If you're going to see a nutritionist, fuck, that's what they're for. And I just want to preface, I'm going to talk about some nutrition changes that I have made and my perspective on them. And if you are someone who's ever struggled with eating or restricting yourself, I just want you to be cognizant. This is my personal experience. I do look at them like in healthy ways of how I am making dietary changes. And I just wanted to like put that out there. And I never want to influence anybody in a negative way or to view their body in a negative way. I mean, fuck, Jessica, this entire episode is about like changing so you view yourself in a positive way. But I just, you know, want to be mindful. So I decide, my mom and I were fucking sitting on my porch and having a drink, and we just had the best catch up ever, and we had like 5 epiphanies in this matter of like an hour. One of them is currently that we were, so basically my brother moved out and he lived in the he had his bedroom in the basement. He moved out, and so I was like, I want to have my bedroom in the basement. So I moved my bedroom to the basement, but my mom's office is right outside his bedroom because you have to like walk into her office to like get into his room. It's now my bedroom. I think I can call it my bedroom. But I was keeping my desk and everything upstairs in my original bedroom. My mom and I had a whole epiphany of like, why the fuck don't we move her office from downstairs to upstairs? I can keep my desk and all this stuff. So like, I kind of have an office low-key. I have a basement apartment basically with my parents. I am thriving. I love it. I was decorating today. That was one of the epiphanies my mom and I had. The other epiphany we had, I was literally sitting with her and I was like, I'm itchy. I know it. I can catch the itch. Like, that's the thing. Having that many yeast infections, I know the itch. Your vagina will itch. That's normal. Like, to have itches once in a while. But the yeast infection itch is very specific. And so I was sitting with my mom and I was telling her this, and literally the next day we drove my brother to Western to drop him off because he's doing his master's there, and like we were at Walmart and I immediately go over and buy Kinestin and shit. And actually I bought 2 because I'm like, the amount of fucking pills I've stuck up there to solve that in the past 6 months, like I go to the pharmacy all the time, I might as well keep one at home that I haven't had to use. Woo! But so my mom says like, okay, we have to figure this out. She's like, why don't you talk to Katie? Why don't you talk to an actual holistic nutritionist and see what she has to say? And I was like, oh my God, you're so right. Why did we not think about this? What I'm eating is affecting what my body is feeling. So I immediately, like the next day, I sent her a voice note in like a very busy cafe. And I'm like, hey, I have a yeast infection. Like, do you have any recommendations? And she was like, well, first of all, do you have an IUD? And I don't. But like, she's like, okay, well, it is possible, like, if you have an IUD, for the yeast to just constantly stick onto it and never come out. Also, another friend of mine had an IUD. Not to, like, talk about IUD horror stories here, but, like, I would be terrified of getting an IUD. For anyone who doesn't know, an IUD goes in I don't know, like, technically, because I don't have one and I don't want one, but it stays inside your vagina, and it's a form of birth control. And it stays in for, like, 5 to 10 years. And yeast infections can like stay on it. The yeast fungus can stay there. And I had another friend who her body was rejecting it and literally had like fucked up symptoms of like her entire arm going numb and like losing hair. It was horrible. So be aware, just be cognizant, talk to like not one, but multiple doctors, always get opinions from other people. I've talked to so many different people about yeast infections and like medical professionals, as well as like holistic nutritionists and friends. Everybody gives different advice. And it's always good to gain all of it. So I'm like, okay, yeah, like, you know what? Like, Katie already has some advice for me. Like, I'm going to pay myself to have a consultation with her and keep a food log and, like, tell her what I'm eating and, like, other things I just notice and, like, make some health goals. And so I started that in September. And so far, so fucking good, guys. She gave me so many incredible recommendations. And I just want to emphasize before I go into it is that it took me 6 months. It took me consecutive yeast infections for 6 months straight. Newly dating someone in the summer. Like, just, oh my God. It just shows that you won't change until you want to or until you're fed the fuck up. And I was. So, yeah, I ended up starting to see her, and she gave me so many different recommendations, and then we had a follow-up 6 weeks later, and then I have more recommendations, and so it was amazing. The first set of recommendations she gave me was to take some supplements. So I started taking magnesium, which I think a lot, like everyone is deficient in, or a lot of people, that's what she said. So I'm taking a magnesium supplement. I'm taking a probiotic supplement, which is good. Probiotics are very good for like killing the bad bacteria, I think. Don't quote me. I'm not a medical professional. I drink lemon water every morning. That has been so nice. It really gets like your bowels moving. Those morning poops, they're coming in clutch. They are not being missed anymore. I was missing them often. I still miss them. So anyway, we don't need to talk about my poop. And there are some other things like drinking kombucha or like high in probiotic foods. And then the biggest one was taking out dairy. She was like, do you think you could take out gluten or dairy? And I was like, dairy, definitely more than gluten. Taking out gluten terrifies me. And it's funny because my boss, this is another little lesson takeaway. My boss has been on a similar like health wellness journey, and she eliminated dairy and gluten, and she was getting married. And I always looked up to her for that. And she talked about all the experiences she had and like how good she felt about all that stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I want to do that one day. Guess what, fuckers? I'm doing it now. It's so funny when you think like, oh, I want to do that one day. Well, why one day? Why not now? And at the time, I wasn't ready to make those changes, and now I am. And the yeast infection was the thing that kind of sparked it. But now I'm doing it more for my overall health and well-being and having high energy and all of that. But so I cut out dairy. And I just found dairy alternatives because I put like milk in my smoothies and yogurt and all that stuff. So I'm trying almond milk and oat milk and coconut yogurt and dairy-free cheese and different snacks that are dairy-free. And honestly, it was not nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be. But the thing that makes the biggest difference with this is she was like, there's an 80-20 rule. 80% of the time you don't eat dairy and 20% of the time you do. And I was like, I never thought about stuff in that form because I've always just been so all or nothing. My personality has always been all or nothing. So I was like, if I'm not eating, like my past self would have been like, if I'm not eating dairy, I'm never eating dairy. That's not fucking realistic. Oh my God. After talking to her, the way I look at the grocery store has literally catastrophically changed. It is insane, especially now after my second consultation, I'm working on eating whole grains because I eat a lot of like white bread, white bagels, white rice, all that stuff that's just like processed. Oh my God. Do this and then go to the fucking grocery store. It's so insane. I just see the world so differently. I'm already looking at society being like, fuck you, you're fucked up, like about race and women and all that stuff. But wow, huge, huge change. My God, this is like such a tangent to go on, but like, whoo, therapeutic in a sense. I need to take a nap. Actually, I need to take a shower after this. So I put those changes implemented. And so the way she also mentioned the 80-20 rule is that like, let's say 5 days of the week you don't eat dairy and on the weekend you do. And that made the biggest difference for me because I wasn't restricting myself. It's so, 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 so important when you're making these changes to not cut yourself off of anything and feel like you're being deprived of anything. And after our second consultation where I'm trying to eat more whole grains / gluten-free, I'm slowly working my way into trying to be gluten-free for 3 weeks before the holidays. And the biggest thing is not restricting yourself. I was having a feeling a couple days ago about about fast food. Every time I was around fast food, I was like, I want it. I want it so bad. And then I realized I was telling myself no. So all I wanted was yes. All I wanted was the stuff I wasn't giving myself. And that's when it's going to fuck you up. That's when it's going to take over your headspace and like, you know, really mess with your mental health. And I said to myself, I was journaling about it. And I was like, Jess, have it. If you want a Harvey's chicken burger, fucking have it, dude. And then I was like, oh my God, I feel like saying to myself, have it, it's okay. Like, it makes a world of a difference. I was like, holy shit, I didn't even, it's just, our bodies want what they can't have, I think, if we tell ourselves we can't have it. And I felt like I just had so much more grace with myself. And I kept feeling like I keep breaking these these, you know, habits I'm trying to have, or I keep breaking these like meal rules or health rules. They're not rules. They're just new things I'm trying to implement. And then I sat down and I like thought about all the things I'd been eating. And I was like, Jess, you're doing amazing. And I had to sit with myself even after the month of no dairy and say, like, you just made huge change in your life. And I'm fucking yeast infection free. Another thing I changed is I stopped using a menstrual cup because I just wanted to see if that was affecting it too. My mom was like, there's so many things you're changing. How are you going to even know which one is the thing that stopped you from getting yeast infections? I'm like, bro, I don't care. I don't care which it is because I'm going to change all of this. And like eventually, if I want to implement a menstrual cup again, I will. And if I haven't had yeast infections for a while, then I will. And if I get one, then I'll know that's why. And maybe I'm not someone who can use that. But overall, you can't say to yourself, you can't. You can't have that. Because your body is just going to now crave it. And I'm also changing the things I'm eating. And that is going to, you know, my body is going to respond to that. It's going to respond sometimes being like, I'm craving that because I want that. And it's okay to sometimes like, you know, to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to allow myself to have fast food if that's what I want, or chocolate if that's what I want. And you know what's insane? I've eaten fast food and then been like, that made me feel like physically not good. Like I feel so sluggish now. Or like having Nutella. I used to eat scoops of Nutella all the time. I've had Nutella recently and been like, this literally doesn't even taste the same to me. And I think the biggest change is I'm being so mindful of what I'm eating. I'm so much more aware of what I'm putting in my body and then how it's affecting me. So like a week into being dairy free, I got myself a cheese pizza. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you would not want to, would have wanted to be in the room with me. Thank God I was alone. Woo! Stinky farts, to say the least. And, like, my body, my entire stomach, like, cramped, and then I was, like, constipated for, like, a day. It was just crazy how my body responded. And I'm just saying to Katie more often, my nutritionist, now that I'm, like, I can feel how my body reacts now. I was with my boyfriend and we ate a fuck ton of pasta. No regrets. It tasted amazing. He makes the best pasta. Well, technically his mom makes the best pasta because they were like a sauce that he got to bring to his university from her. But literally like I ate so much gluten and I have just started to do kind of more whole grains, gluten-free. My entire stomach from below my boobs to like below my belly button was just rock solid, and the gas was horrible. I am so sorry to my boyfriend. This shows how you can find someone who really loves and accepts you, because this is how much he loves me. He was like, I literally was so overtired too, and I was like lying in bed. I was like, I'm gonna fart and like you can't touch me, and he was like, okay, I love you, good night. So grateful for you. But like, out of all the recommendations she gave me, there was definitely ones that came more naturally than others and ones that were harder. So right now, eating a lot more whole grains or gluten-free stuff is definitely a lot more challenging for me. But it's something that you become more aware of, and I'm trying to eat more vegetables. And you kind of pick your battles too, because it was a bit overwhelming at first to get all these recommendations. But I said to myself, you know what? I know I can start drinking lemon water every morning right now, and I know I can go to the store and buy kombucha right now. Perfect. And then in a couple days, I was like, okay, cool. Let's work towards being even more dairy free if I was doing it just a little bit. And that's what's so important here, people. You need to have grace with yourself. You need to sit down sometimes, turn your phone off, journal, write, talk to someone you love, or just reflect, sit in silence, meditate, and think, oh my God, look at how much I've changed, or look at these things I've done. And I love Katie said this to me. She said, if you're going to feel shame or guilt about eating something that's not recommended, like under like, you know, if you're going to eat, you know, cheese pizza with regular cheese and you're going to feel guilty, she's like, there's no point of even eating it because you're not even going to enjoy it. If you're going to indulge and enjoy it and love it and like live it, and don't feel bad about it, because there's no point of eating something and then feeling awful about it. And that's why I really want this to hopefully help shift a mindset of there's no reason to restrict yourself. And it's so amazing to eat food to nourish your body and feel amazing. And that is not a restriction on the amount of food you're eating either. Like, eat fucking so much good food. It's so good for you. And It's just like it changes the game so much when you actually like acknowledge how well you're doing instead of being hard on yourself, because it's so much easier to be hard on yourself. Oh my god, this is so cute. I wrote down notes for this and I just wrote becoming a woman I am proud of. And you know what? I did want to shift that mindset to I am a woman I'm proud of. Because I think about all the changes I'm making and all that's happening, and I was like, you're not making the changes future. You're currently making the changes present right now. I'm so proud. And so, ooh, I didn't even mention this. So Katie gave supplement recommendations, nutrition recommendations, and then lifestyle recommendations. I fucking love the lifestyle recommendations, because the biggest system that we actually need to work on, or I need to work on personally with her, is my nervous system. Because if you can't tell, I'm hyper. I talk so much. I love it. And I move really fast, but my stress levels are often high. I had like a week of like crying every day because I wasn't managing my stress levels. So the newest lifestyle piece of advice for me was a morning routine. And I am just absolutely obsessed right now. And it's so hard sometimes to make the healthier decision for yourself, for myself, in terms of food or also in terms of lifestyle changes. But I was waking up every morning and already feeling behind and jumping on my computer and starting doing work without taking a breath for myself. So my new morning routine is I will do one of the four things and only one, because typical old me would have been like, I need to do all four. And that's just crazy. No. Take your time. Don't put a time constraint on yourself. Know that the work is always waiting for you. Personally, I don't have like a time I have to start, which I'm lucky for. And so my four things that I'll do in the morning, or I'll do one of these four things. I'll either meditate, I'll journal. And honestly, meditation and journaling, it just comes naturally to do both. So I'll either like meditate / journal. I'll do a bit of yoga. I've done a lot of self-guided yoga, which has felt so good. Like, your muscles are so tight in the morning, stretching them out. I have a morning playlist on my Spotify. I'll probably link it if you want to listen to it. So relaxing. I'll do some yoga, or I'll read. And it's great, because the days that I'm like, ugh, I do not feel like doing fucking yoga or meditating, I'm like, cool, I will stay. Because I'm like, oh, I want to stay in my bed longer. I'm like, cool, I'll stay in my bed and read longer. Perfect. That works. So that is just like the best. And I won't touch my phone. I won't touch my phone until after I'm done. I leave my phone in a different room to charge overnight. And I'll drink my lemon water as I do my morning routine. Guys, dude, like, I was about to be like, dude, literally, like, that's how I talk to my friends. So let's talk to you guys like I talk to my friends. Dude, literally, it makes the fucking biggest difference. Like, it's actually fucked up. Like, I literally feel so good. In my day, I move so much slower. I'm so much less stressed. I check in with myself. I see how I'm feeling. It makes the biggest difference. Like, this has actually, like, been the thing that's resonated with me the most. Like, Katie said this once on her Instagram. Please go follow at Holistically Humble. Like, God, the amount of shout-outs I'm giving, like, she's the best. I actually visited her recently. She lives in, she lives on Vancouver Island. Anyway, she said on Instagram that, like, when you check social media as soon as you wake up, it's like walking into a room full of people. It's so overwhelming. And I literally texted my friend Maya recently when I had a bunch of family to my cottage for Thanksgiving. And I was like, I hate seeing a million people as soon as I wake up. Same thing is going on your phone and going on Instagram. So that's just changed so much. And again, 80-20 rule. 80% of the time I have my morning routine. 20% of the time I don't. If my boyfriend sleeps over, I don't. If I'm really hungover, like this morning, I wasn't really hungover, but I felt a bit shitty, I don't, and I go check my phone. You know, it's having room for living the way you want to live in the moment and saying, fuck it. And that's what makes a huge fucking difference. So the last lifestyle recommendation she gave was, she has this book called How to Heal Yourself, and it looks at different problems you have and the cause for it, and then a new mindset or a new mantra for it. So she looked at different like yeast infection issues and women's health issues. And under women's health, the new mantra was, I love my body. I love being a woman. I rejoice in my femininity. And Katie was like saying a bunch, and she was like, let me know if any of these resonate. And I was like, does that ever fucking resonate, broski? Holy motherfucking shit. First of all, the amount of times, especially when I'm on my period, but especially when I was having the yeast infections, I hate being a woman. Being a woman fucking sucks. This is the worst. This is so unfair. do you know how that, how my body responds to that? Do you know how my mind would respond to that? So negatively. So negatively. So I was like, holy shit, I love being a woman and I love my body. That really resonated. And then I ended up adding, I love my mind. So as much as I can, when I remember, I haven't actually done, see, she gives me a bunch of recommendations, but I haven't done this part yet. And that's okay, because I still have time to do it. I'm currently decorating my room. So I'm going to add this mantra. I want to have, put it on some nice art, put it on my lock screen. That was a recommendation she gave me like a month and a half ago. And you know what? She gave me so many that that's the one I haven't done yet. And that's totally okay. But I'm still going to implement it eventually if I want to, slash if I feel like it, slash whenever I remember the mantra, I repeat it, I write it down. I fucking love my boyfriend so much because I told him all about this. He was with me when I had my first nutrition consultation and he knows about this mantra I'm trying to repeat to myself, and he will catch me in negative spirals. And he will literally say like, whoa, 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 whoa. He's like, say it, say it, say it, Jess. And I'm like, I love my body. I added, I love my mind, because the amount of times I will say, I'm so annoying, I annoy myself, I'm being crazy right now, that also affects me so negatively. So I love my body, I love my mind, and I love being a woman. And this makes a huge difference. And it's so important to have people who are on your fucking side, who have your fucking back. I saw this post recently on Instagram. The guy's name was Tim who posted this. He said, like, my therapist said to me today, if they're not team Tim, then they can go fuck themselves. And I was like, I'm obsessed. If they're not team Jess, they can go fuck themselves. And I actually need, and then he says, and then I teared up a little bit. I'm like, if my therapist said that to me, I would also tear up. I also have been making such great breakthroughs in therapy. I've seen my therapist tear up, and I know she didn't make it obvious, but I could tell I love her so much. Guys, I have so much to share with you. But again, with the podcast, I was resisting posting and talking about all of this because I was so scared of what people might think. But if you're not team Jess, you can go fuck yourself. Woohoo! Yes! There's so many things I think people can take away from this, because there's so much I've been learning, because there's so much I've been experiencing. And having people who have your back, and the fact that my boyfriend will do that, oh my God. Like, I'm not religious, but God bless him, you know? Like, I'm just so fucking grateful to have people who have my back and will help me make these changes. And that's what I was thinking the other day too, is how I act when I, like, don't want to eat something that has dairy in it that someone's, like, offering me. If I'm gonna be all, oh, it has dairy, but I want it, but I'm not gonna eat it, but I want it. That's gonna make other people feel uncomfortable, you feel uncomfortable, no one feels good about that situation. And that's what I'm so nervous about, is like the way I'm talking or expressing or experiencing things is like, I'm scared of making other people uncomfortable. But I'm not going, first of all, not my problem. Second of all, I wouldn't if I'm being confident in how I feel. If I was like, oh my God, no thanks, that's okay. Like, I'm just not eating dairy right now. But like, enjoy, go off, like have the snack, have the meal. Then that's so chill. And anyone who loves you, anyone who's team Jess will be like, oh my God, cool, no problem, awesome. So it's about your mindset about it. It's about your perspective about it. And if you're gonna sit there and just be super chill and say, like, this is what I'm doing, I'm confident about it. Oh, I love following my therapist on Instagram so much. Follow Bloom Narratives on Instagram. Trust me, it'll change your days. It changes mine. And my therapist shows her face on it and actually talks on it sometimes. And it literally is like the dose of her that I need in my day. And she said this on her Instagram story. She was like, shoulders back, head up, you got this. So I think I might close off this episode with that. Because truly, you can take charge of your life in any way. You can take charge of your health in any way. Oh, and a little side note too. I live with my parents. And I really wanted to mention this point. I actually believed that eating healthy tasted disgusting and tasted bad. I actually had that belief inside of me. When I was a kid, I was the pickiest eater ever. If you're someone who's like so picky and like doesn't like to eat a lot of things, experiment. But also, like, I had this belief from a kid that eating healthy tasted so nasty. And I made myself the most delicious dairy-free smoothie bowl last night. And I was like, this tastes so good. Oh my God. And then I was like, oh my God, everything I'm eating lately tastes so good. And I was like, yeah, and you're being healthy, Jess. Like, what the fuck? You had this assumption that eating fucking food that was good for you would taste like shit. that's so not true at all. And there's so many options. Like, I live in Toronto and there's like Farm Boy and Loblaws. And yes, also Katie said this, a lot of healthy things are more expensive, which is fucked up, but it is. And her dad said to her, he was like, if, what did he say? Oh, he's like, you're going to go broke buying all this stuff. And she was like, I'm either going to pay now or I'm going to pay later. And pay later, as in your body not being healthy and hating you. So seriously, pay now or pay later. Take control of your health. But also, if you listen to this whole episode and feel constricted and uncomfortable and scared to do that, maybe you're not ready yet. And that's okay. I was not ready until I literally had an itchy vagina for 6 months fucking straight. So listen, you're not alone. And don't do it alone either. Because it's a fucking mess in your brain if you do. And having Katie as a support is the biggest game changer. Truly, I tell her about my poo. I tell her about being gassy. I tell her about how I'm feeling. I tell her, I had to sit on a call and talk to her about my vagina, you know? Like, it's chill. I was also at my boyfriend's apartment with his roommates outside that I literally had never met till then. And it was great. I don't think anyone could hear me, but I felt uncomfortable. And that's okay. Just trust the process. Trust your body. Your body is talking to you. My body was screaming at me, telling me, help me, make me feel better. Please, Jess. Okay? So listen to it. Trust it. Change things when you're ready. Talk to the people you love and support. Allow them to help you and have your back. And thank you for listening. Start to work to become the person you're so proud of. And my parents, thank God I can keep stuff in the fridge downstairs where I am, but they're open to this. And also, to be honest, it really helps that I've been getting yeast infections because like they're like, why are you having brown rice now? And I'm like, well, it's better for you. It actually has more, like it'll help maintain more of the good bacteria in my body. And I don't have yeast infections anymore. And my dad didn't understand me seeing a nutritionist. And then he was like, oh, well, is this actually helping? And I'm like, yes, I haven't had a yeast infection. And he was like, oh my God. And also, if it's about yeast infections, you can just call it an infection. You don't have to say it's about your vagina. But sometimes I will. Last night, for the first time, I said it was just an infection and not a yeast one. But oftentimes I will tell people it's a yeast infection. And then people are like, oh, okay. Got it. So trust your body. It's talking to you. Everything you put in your body, it is affecting how you work. And it's really empowering to shift that in a positive way. Don't restrict yourself. Don't hold yourself back. Have grace with yourself. Love yourself. Head back. No. Shoulder. Fuck. Shoulders back. Head up. You got this. You're doing great. Thank you for being here. I'm really going to try and keep posting more because I love doing this. I'm going to keep getting more up close and personal episodes to come, what it's like to be in an interracial relationship and to, first of all, have white privilege and learn really the depths to racism. And I'm still learning and I will always be learning what it's like to try and like, you know, be a part of helping and trying to change society and how it runs and the patriarchy. Ugh. I'm reading a book about burnout and it's like, it always says, whenever it talks about the patriarchy, it puts in brackets after. Ugh. It's awesome. So much more. I'm going to get really personal. And if you're not Team Jess, you can go fuck yourself. Love you guys. Follow me on Instagram at @humantohumanpod. I post a lot of fun stuff. And I will hopefully see you very, very soon. Okay, bye. Love you. Thanks for hearing me talk about my vagina. It's not itchy anymore. Yay. Bye.